ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Let us chant these verses. The people are coming. From the verse 16. Chaturvidha bhajante maam jana sukrutino arjuna arto jignyasurarthaarthe ज्ञानी च भरतर्षभ ज्ञानी नित्ययुक्तः एक भक्तिर्विशिष्यते प्रियो हि ज्ञानिनोऽत्यर्थम् अहं स च मम प्रियः उदारा सर्व एवैते ज्ञानी त्वात्मैव मे मतम् आस्थितः स हि युक्तात्मा मामेवानुत्तमां गतिम्। बहूनां जन्मनामन्ते ज्ञानवान् मां प्रपद्यते वासुदेवः सर्वमिति स महात्मा सुदुर्लभः। वासुदेव सर्वम, एवरीथिंग इज वासुदेव। विष्णु पुराण सेज अहम हरिहि सर्वविदम जनार्दन, डिस्क्राइबिंग द विजन ऑफ द वाइस पर्सन, अहम हरिहि, आई एम हरि, सर्वविदम जनार्दन, ऑल ऑफ दिस इज जनार्दन। नान्यततः कारण कार्य जातम, दिस यूनिवर्स कारण कार्य जातम, द कॉज एंड इफेक्ट is nothing other than Hari or Janardana or myself. If this is so, then the question arises that this Vasudeva is myself actually. Is closer than the closest to me. If Ishvara was away from me, different from me, if I were to reach some place like heavens or whatever, some realm, in order to know Ishvara or have his darshan, then perhaps there can be many obstacles, and then it is possible that some people can make that, some people may not make it. But the vision of Ishvara, the Vedanta presents, is that he is my own self. किमे तरी सर्वेषां प्रत्यभूते भगवती यथोक्त ज्ञानम न उदयति। क्वेश्चन इज देन, हाउ कम एवरीबडी डज नॉट रिकग्नाइज सेल्फ एज वासुदेव व्हेन ही इज अवर ओन सेल्फ, क्लोजर देन द क्लोजेस्ट। सी, दिस इज द आयरनी इन द लाइफ, ही इज क्लोजर देन क्लोजेस्ट एंड स्टिल अपीयर्स टू बी फादर देन द फादरेस्ट। क्वेश्चन इज, इफ वासुदेव ईश्वर गॉड who is everything, is my own self, then how come everybody does not know the self as Vasudeva? Or how come everybody does not resort to Vasudeva as their own self? So Shankaracharya says also, Atma eva sarvam Vasudeva itevam apratipattau. How come then people do not know their own self as Vasudeva? they do not resolve to Vasudeva as a self, two things are there. Vasudeva just stands for Ishvara, God. That even those who are devotees of God, they still look upon God as different from themselves. When God is my own self, how come everybody does not in fact look upon God as a self or want to realize God that way? Even those who wish to realize God also want to realize God as different from themselves. When God is my own self, how come everybody does not want to realize God as their own self? And when they take refuge of God, then also they look upon God as different from themselves. How come they do not take refuge of God as their own self? How come this thought, this vision, this inspiration does not arise in people that Ishvara is myself? Put it this way. If Ishvara is my own self, always there, always shining, always revealing, always manifesting in my heart as I. So one who constantly shines or manifests in my heart as I, is Ishvara, is God. How come then it doesn't become evident to everybody? What's the problem? If Ishvara was in some place elsewhere and then he is in that realm, then it's possible, then yes, that I would not ever think about him, or it would not occur to me, or it may be difficult to know him. But he is constantly revealing as my own self. How come then everybody does not know him as his own self? So Lord Krishna tells us the reason. What deprives us of knowing ourselves as Ishvara, or knowing Ishvara, who is my own self, what deprives me of knowing the true nature of myself? It is the extrovertedness of the mind, because the mind is always outward looking. Mind is not inward looking. For knowing self, Ishvara as self, it is necessary that the mind should be inward looking. Unfortunately, mind is outward looking. That's the obstacle. And that's what Lord Krishna describes in the next verses now. Verse 20 tells us,
Kamaistaistaihritajnanaha. Padyante nya devatah, tam niyama masthaya, prakritya niyata svaya. Taihi kamaihi hrutajnanah. Taihi ka putra pashu swargadi visayahi kamaihi. All kinds of desires are there in the human mind. Putra for progeny, pashu for cattle and wealth. Meaning in this world there are desires for progeny, desires for wealth, desires for name, fame, recognition in this world. And swarga, after death also, this person wants to go to heavens. He wants to prepare here for his place in heaven. So these desires, hrutajnanaha, those whose discrimination is robbed away by these desires. These desires rob away or deprive me of viveka or discrimination or discernment. Meaning that it is the nature of mind to come up with one desire after the other. And a non-discriminating person, or a non-discerning person, or a non-thinking person, in the sense of thinking in this sense, about the realities of life. He may be a thinking person in other ways. One could be a very thinking person when it comes to business and lot of, you know, when it comes to worldly matters. Person may be very thinking and may be astute in the ways of the world, but not thinking when it comes to the one's own life or the realities of life. As the desires taihi taihi kamehi, those various desires arise, apahuta viveka vijnana, whose viveka jnanam, whose sense of discrimination, whose sense of discerning, apahrutam is robbed away, is kidnapped, apahrutam kidnapping, meaning those who are deprived of the right thinking. Let's say viveka means right thinking. Thinking which is in accordance with the realities of life, that will be right thinking. Ultimately, right thinking is what? Vasudeva sarvam. That is the right thinking. Everything is Vasudeva. Myself. Everything is myself is Vasudeva. Everything is myself. Everything is Vasudeva. Everything is Purnameva Avashishyate. Everything is manifestation of wholeness, completeness. That's all there is, nothing else. That is the right thinking. And any thinking that leads to this ultimate will also be called right thinking. So thinking that leads to ultimately this knowledge also will be right thinking. And so, viveka, as Vedanta would describe, apahruta viveka vijnana, whose discriminative knowledge is kidnapped or robbed away, what's the viveka? That atma alone is satyam, all there is only Ishvara, everything else is false, meaning that what appears to be other than Ishvara is not right. Everything is Ishvara, he alone is and nothing else, whatever is manifestation of Ishvara. Oh, there is myself. That what I am seeking is my own self. Life is praptasya praptihi, attainment of what is already attained. The tenth man searching for the tenth man, not recognizing that what is searching for is his own self. So also human being does not recognize that the happiness or freedom that is searching for is his own self. That happiness is not something to be produced, is not something to be acquired, is something to be surfaced. We say, look, just think of an experience of happiness, any happiness, which will come after a while when you go to dining hall, you know. And if today is birthday, then I'm sure we'll get some cake. Some sweet must be there, some dessert. And when I enjoy that, I'm happy. Whatever makes you happy, it may be a movie, it may be anything. An experience of happiness, ordinary happiness, pleasure. Where I'm experiencing pleasure or happiness, it'll be worthwhile to pay attention to this event and see whether the happiness is entering from outside to inside, or is happiness welling up from inside? Where is that? You know, when I experience even that happiness which arises from experiencing a pleasurable object, then also, do I feel that or experience that happiness has come from outside to inside? Or happiness is welling up from my own self? Nobody ever feels that happiness comes from outside. Something entered into me. You always experience that it is manifesting in me, welling up in me. Is it not so? Meaning that the external pleasurable object only triggers or becomes an occasion for surfacing the happiness which is already there. It is surfacing or it is entering. It is not entering, it is surfacing. It seems I need an aid of something else to surface the happiness within myself. But then, if you pay attention, we realize that happiness surfaces. It doesn't come from outside. Because happiness is my own self. Whenever we experience happiness, it is not an uncreated or non-existent happiness that becomes existent. But what is already there becomes evident. It surfaces or becomes evident. If this viveka is there, this is viveka, meaning understanding a simple experience of happiness. In that case, it becomes clear that happiness is not outside, it is within my own self. And better than that is, it is myself. So if I want to be happy, it is not that I do something to acquire happiness. I have to do something to surface the happiness, make it evident. It is the attainment of what already is, not attaining or acquiring what is not, but attaining or acquiring what is. So whether the life is a process of acquiring what I do not have, or life is a process of owning up what I have. Two lifestyles are there. Acquiring what I do not have or owning up what I already have. This is viveka. If this viveka or discrimination or discernment is there, then my life, my attitudes will be different, priorities will be different, my values will be different. As Lord Krishna teaches, for surfacing the happiness which is already in your heart, or for making it evident, the method prescribed in Bhagavad Gita is called yajna. So become other-centered. Let your actions become an action of self-offering. May your actions become not a process of acquiring what you don't have, may they become a process of getting rid of likes and dislikes. See, that is how life would be. Meaning that then my action is performed not as controlled by likes and dislikes, not to satisfy the likes and dislikes, but an action is performed in fact to get rid of likes and dislikes. So how am I living? Am I accumulating more and more attachment and aversions? Or I'm getting rid of them? See, a viveki will be a yogi, not a bhogi. Whether my life is yoga or bhoga. But this very knowledge, this very discrimination, this very fundamental discernment of life itself is robbed away. I'm deprived of that. What does it? These desires as arise in my mind. Well, again, it is not a problem with desire. Desire can arise in my mind. I have the freedom to decide what to do with that desire. I don't have freedom in desiring because mind itself comes up with a desire. However, I have the freedom to decide what to do with that desire. Whether I want to fulfill that desire or what I want to do with it. We are not saying that all desires are bad, or that desire is wrong, or that we should not fulfill them. That's not the point. Point is, when the desire arises, I do what I do deliberately. It is I who decides to fulfill desire, and not desire who decides, which decides what I do. I decide what I do, and not the desire. And based on my values. So, there are certain things that we need. It's not that we don't need, we do need certain things to live our life. And therefore, acquiring those things would be in order. But whether there are many emotional needs are there. whether real needs or perceived needs. There are some real needs, that I'm hungry and I need food, that's a real need. I'm thirsty, I need a drink of water, is a real need. But in India these days, when children get thirsty, they don't ask for water, they ask for Pepsi. Somebody told me this Mountain Dew, I did not know about this drink, you know, Mountain Dew. I thought it's like this 7-Up, some, you know, it's a kind, looks like a colorless, transparent liquid. Not like cola, it doesn't look like cola. He says, Swami, it contains maximum caffeine. And this one woman got so addicted to that, that one morning when she did not get the Mountain Dew, there were withdrawal symptoms. So that is a cultivated, that's a perceived need. That's an emotional need. By emotional need we mean needs we are superimposed, imagined. So when a need arises in my, a desire arises, I ask myself, is it a real need or a perceived need? Is it an emotional need? Is it simply my ego that wants to be satisfied? That's why the desire is? Or that I need a house, that's a real need. I need a car, I need those things. But then those particular kind of things, so whether they are emotional needs or they are real needs. Because otherwise you can keep on, these needs will drive me. These endless, kama hitaihi, those prospective desires. Desire is such that more I fulfill them, or more I satisfy them, more stronger they become. Vedanta does not teach that there should be no desire, because you don't have freedom in not having desire. Vedanta does not teach that desire is wrong. Vedanta teaches that before we go ahead and fulfill the desire, we should only analyze and ask whether fulfilling desire will take me a step closer to my goal or away from my goal. If the goal is clear, if the goal is self-growth, if the goal is self-owning, then will fulfilling this desire will make me a more mature person? Will my mind get purified or will become impure? Let us say this way, does it make me free or does it make me more dependent? Fulfilling a desire, will it make me free or will it make me bound? A desire for knowledge is not a wrong desire, it's a desire which will make me free. Desire to help somebody, so some of the desires are in fact desires which will contribute to my freedom. But desires only to satisfy my impulses of lust, anger, greed, to satisfy them is not going to take me anywhere, because they only become, they're like fire and they'll become more and more demanding. Or desire to gratify my ego, that also is never-ending thing. So desire, we don't say desire is wrong. You should not have desire. There can be desire which is helpful desire. There is desire which is for need. There are desires which are helpful. There are desires which are hurtful also. So even that much discrimination, apahrita jnanaha, the pressure of desire is so much, that even this kind of vijnana, this kind of viveka, this kind of discrimination also is not there, whether fulfilling desire will make me bound or will make me free. At least the intellect should have this kind of discrimination. Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha karya karye bhaya bhaye bandham moksham chaya vetti buddhissa partha sattviki. That's called sattvic buddhi, which understands what to do, what not to do. What will land me into bondage, or what will make me free? What will make me fearless, what is fraught with fear? This discrimination is not there. Because of predominance of rajoguna, where there is predominance of bhoga buddhi, or the impulse to enjoy. Where the needs, perceived needs of ego are felt so strongly,
The emotional needs are also felt so strongly that I think that I definitely need. And therefore, the desires appear to be the right things to do. Then, a desiring mind always is an outward-looking mind, because mind only thinks of the object of desire. It plans and it schemes and, you know, it does all kinds of things, so how to fulfill that desire. So, thus, when the mind is deliberating upon this non-self, it cannot deliberate upon the self. So, meaning that this externalness or outwardness itself is an obstacle to recognizing the true nature of myself. Kathopanishad also says this, Paranchikhani vetrunat svayambhuhu. Tasmat parang pashyati nantaratman. Ishvara has made the senses and the mind outward looking. And therefore, the human mind always looks out, never looks at himself. To solve the problem, I never look at myself. To solve the problem of my sadness, always look out there. This fellow is responsible, do something there. This is, without this I can't do, get that. So, without this I am sad, get it. Because of it I am sad, get rid of this. That's a rajogoni mind will do that. The mind with rajas, this is how its deliberation will be. Tasmat parang pasyati, he always looks outward, outside of himself or herself, always as the source of, as the cause of the problem and as the source of release of the problem. So this is, Lord Krishna says, it is this that deprives a person from seeing his own self as Vasudeva. Prapadyante anya devataha. Not only not seeing, but even taking refuge of Vasudeva. Understand that Vasudeva here does not mean a person. Although these verses are interpreted that way. So devotees of Lord Sri Krishna would interpret the verse, look, this is what Lord Krishna prescribes, that you should worship me and no other devata. Prapadyante anya devataha. Instead of worshipping me, they worship other devatas, other gods. Now this is somewhat confusing. When Lord Krishna says, this non-discriminating people, instead of worshipping me, are worshipping other devatas, other gods. That means here Lord Krishna is saying that you should not worship Shiva, or Ganesha, or Devi. Is what is meant by I and other devatas? But then then this kind of universal teaching. If it is prescribed here that we should only worship one devata as Sri Krishna alone and nobody else, then this cannot be universal teaching. And therefore, as I said, Vasudeva cannot stand for a certain personality. Or when Lord Krishna says they worship other gods, other devatas, it cannot be a devata excluding Vasudeva. What is meant by Vasudeva is that they do not worship me as their own self, but they worship me as different from themselves. They do not worship me without as nishkama or as selflessly, they worship me with a desire. So what is meant by prapadyante anya devataha, that they worship other devatas? What is meant is that worshipping God as different from myself. And secondly, worshipping God for some worldly, to fulfilling some worldly desire. It is sakama bhakti. There is two aspects are there. So, anyadarshitvam, looking upon Ishvara as different from oneself. And sakama bhakti, worshipping Ishvara with an agenda of fulfilling a certain desire. That is called anya devata. Even if you worship Lord Krishna as different from the self, or worship Lord Krishna also for fulfilling a desire, he'll fall in category anya devata only. Follow? So, prapadyante anya devata, they resort to
They take refuge of, or they worship other devatas.
And the moment you worship even Ishvara, even Krishna, as a different, with a desire, moment you go to Ishvara or God with a desire, with agenda, then he becomes a demanding God. He says, okay, if you want this from me, this is what you have to do. If you don't want anything, then you are okay as you are. But you come here for a certain desire, you want wealth, you want a son, you want heavens, you want fame, you want power, do this. Perform this ritual if you want progeny. Perform this ritual if you want cattle. Perform this ritual if you want heavens. Perform this ritual if you want kingdom. Meaning then you must perform those specific rituals in a specific way. The stipulated way in which then the worship should be performed. If you go to the president of the country as a friend, it is an informal meeting. He may not, you know, then you can perhaps, whatever clothes you are wearing, decent, that's okay. If you meet him as a president seeking some favor, then the rules of the game are different. Seeking favor is always a mutually beneficial act. You give something, you get something. Then dakshina is required. Dakshina means, you know, you have to please the devata. It is not that this other devatas, Indra, Varuna, or other devatas, or Shiva, or Lakshmi, etc. In fact, we can worship any devata invoking the Sarvatma, then it's only Vasudeva. I can worship Lord Ganesha, Dakshinamurti, or anybody. As long as I worship them as a self of all, as all inclusive, as ultimately my own self, or I worship them without expectation of any worldly gain, I worship Dakshinamurti, me mahyam, medham, prajnam, prayatcha. Please give me antarkana shuddhi, give me medha. Give me a mind that enjoys focus and purity, and prajna, give me the wisdom that I am Brahman and everything is Brahman. If this is what you are asking, it doesn't matter who you ask. It doesn't matter which devata you are asking, in which form, whether it is Dakshinamurti or Ganesha, or whatever the devata. Meaning that from any devata we can invoke what we want. From Lord Ganesha we can invoke simply a devata who will remove my obstacles. Or we can invoke from Ganesha a devata is Saguna Brahma, who is creator, sustainer, dissolver. Tvameva kevalam kartasi, tvameva kevalam dhartasi, tvameva kevalam hartasi, tvameva sarvam khalvidam brahmasi. You are the creator, you are omniscient, you are omnipotent. Or we can say, Tvameva Atma Nityam, Atmasi Nityam, you are myself. So whether we are invoking Param Brahma, Nirgunam Brahma, any devata is available. So understand the spirit of worship. They say that Hindus are worshipping forms. Of course, nobody worships it. Everybody worships Ishvara. But then we can invoke Ishvara in different ways. Either you can invoke Ishvara having a particular attribute, such as remover of obstacles, such as giver of wealth, such as giver of knowledge, a giver of health. So, for perhaps health you may worship Surya Devata, and for wealth you may worship Lakshmiji, and for other knowledge you may worship Saraswati, etc. What it means is that from Ishvara we are only invoking some aspect of him. Ishvara is everything. But we are only invoking a certain aspect of Ishvara. For example, if you go for some donation somewhere, you know, to a person, talk to that person, and what do you invoke from that person? A donor.
then I approach that person invoking a donor. That person is many things, his father also, his grandfather also, he is many, many things. But I am only invoking one aspect of the person. So Ishvara is everything. Even Lord Krishna, whichever form you worship, but if you invoke only one aspect, this is what I want from you, that means that I am invoking one small insignificant aspect of Ishvara. Not the whole of Ishvara. The whole of Ishvara is invoked only when I want Ishvara and nothing but Him, and I want Him as my own self. Then I am invoking the whole of Ishvara. That is what Lord Krishna means by me, by Vasudeva. They do not worship me. They do not invoke the whole of me. Anya devataha, they invoke only some part of me. Because they want to, their self-serving interest, they want something from me and therefore they only invoke a part of me. That's called anya devataha. So, what is Ganesha is nothing but one aspect of Ishvara. What is Dakshinamurti, Shiva, all of them are one aspect of Ishvara. When a particular quality is emphasized. But they can be Saguna Brahma also, they can be Nirguna Brahma also, depending on what you want to invoke. So you can be a worshipper of Ganesha, and still you can be a worshipper of Brahman. That's what you invoke from Ganesha, or from Dakshinamurti, from any deity. So this should become clear to us. Anya devataha, here Lord Krishna does not mean that he is prescribing only worship of Sri Krishna and that he seems to prohibit the worship of other devatas. He means that worship me for my sake, worship me for nothing other than me, and don't keep a distance between me and you, worship me as your own self. So question was, how come everybody doesn't do that? Because people are small-minded, they do not know what to ask for. They are asking for little things, and thinking that attaining those little things will make them happy. It is lack of viveka or discrimination, not recognizing what I want in my life. Not recognizing that what I want is a limitless. And that no limited gain can ever fulfill the desire of limitlessness, that viveka is not there. And this person thinks that a desire arises out of $1,000,000, that's why he runs after that, thinking that when he gets that, he will be liberated. Everybody wants to be liberated. But then he thinks that $1,000,000 will liberate me. Somebody thinks that being a minister will liberate me, something. So somebody thinks power, position, name, fame. It's nothing wrong in getting those things. We are not saying that anything wrong with wealth or name, fame or power, nothing wrong with that. So, I mean, when you work, then these things will come, let them come. They are an empowerment. If you have wealth, there is an empowerment. If you have position, influence, it's good. You can put it to use as a yajna. You can put it to use all the resources for noble causes, nothing wrong in it. For serving the society also you need things. If I don't have anything, what can I give? Therefore, having or achieving is not a problem. It is the purpose for which I am doing those things, that is where the problem is. And that purpose is decided by what understanding of life I have. If the understanding is, that is what will make me happy or liberated, that is called apahruta jnana. They superimpose too much value which is not there, because shobhanadhyasa, I think that, well, this money is all that I need, that is given such an importance. As Swami says, I don't need money, also is another adhyasa. That also is equally wrong. And money is all, that also is equally wrong. Therefore, being objective, everything has its own place, and everything has its own place in my life also. And accordingly, viewing them, relating to them, will be an objective of relating. That is important. Then only I can have a proper relationship with Ishvara. The reason why I do not have a proper relationship with Ishvara is because I do not have proper relationship with the world. If I think that this particular thing will make me free and secure and happy, then that's a wrong relationship, because that nothing is designed to fulfill those requirements. Then Ishvara is devalued. He can give me those things, but then I look upon this object as giving what Ishvara is supposed to give. You follow? Who can give me freedom and happiness is Ishvara. And I think that this particular object or a thing will give me that. Meaning I do not know that also, I do not know Ishvara also, I do not know myself, nothing I know. This ko apahruta jnanaha, meaning the viveka jnanam has been dropped away. It is nobody's fault, that's how we are born anyway. It's not robbed away, we are born with a robbed jnanam. We are born unintelligent. We have become intelligent. That kind of a exercise is given to us. Yesterday somebody asked, Swamiji, why not be born enlightened? Why not? Why all this struggle? Then you would not be born, because there is no need to be born if you are already enlightened. But why this ignorance? I said, I don't know. Really? There is no answer to the question, why this ignorance? Once you accept ignorance, then everything makes sense. The answer to every question, why is ignorance? But why ignorance? There is no answer. It is there, which Lord Krishna will explain also. Prapadyante anyade. So let us understand what is meant here by saying that they worship other devatas, meaning that they worship Ishvara only for a limited gain, because they think that that's all they need in their life, because their viveka jnanam or the sense of discrimination has been robbed away because of fascination. It is their fascination and attraction for the worldly gains that seems to determine, and that robs away his capacity to think. He can't think of anything. Moment he sees, depends on, you know, moment he sees something, some beautiful person, then he keeps on chasing. He cannot think further. So this fellow is chasing this, you know, following this woman, very beautiful woman. And she goes into restaurant, this chap also goes into restaurant and sits at the same table, you know. Same coffee, he also. After some time, you know, this woman, she removed her denture, removed her wig, removed those things and showed her what she was, you know. Look, you are only attracted to something which is just outward, that is, it's not in, you know, it's not a real stuff. That's how the things are in the world, with wigs, with dentures, with all kinds of polish and things. And so we think that's what appears is real. And chasing. And when he gets disappointed, when he really gets, he knows what it is. And still he starts chasing something else. He does not realize that everything is like that. He thinks only this thing is like that. But elsewhere it will be alright. Apahruta jnana. How the viveka jnanam, it does not arise. How we do not learn from the experiences. Hope against, hoping against hope that something will work out. If this did not work out, that will work out. If not that, something else will work out. Tam tam niyamasthaya prakritya niyatasvaya. As we said then, when you are invoking God for getting a certain benefit, for fulfilling a desire, then we have to follow stipulated rules. Then a ritual must be performed in a stipulated way. Then you have to offer to Ganesha whatever is he wants. You cannot offer any leaf to every devata, you know. And Lord Shiva will only want Bilva leaf, and Lord Narayan says only Tulsi leaf, and then Ganesha will want only Durva. They want certain flowers, certain kind of naivedya, certain colors of cloths. So this one wants red cloth, Vishnu will want yellow cloth, Shiva will want no cloth, whatever. So you then, tam tam niyamasthaya. Then we have to follow the stipulations when we worship the devatas for fulfilling desires. Then there are specific rituals or specific ways of worshipping them, and we have to follow those stipulations. And how can we find different people worshipping different devatas also? Some people just like, some children like Hanuman, somebody likes Ganesha, somebody little children. This little child is born, you know, where the mother is an Indian woman and the father is a Jewish person. This child, he looks like an American kid, but he just loves Ganesha, you know. He loves Hanuman and Ganesha and things like that. He just loves them. Some people, children just love Krishna. So this, it seems that we are born with certain inherent tendencies also. Prakritya niyata svaya, as controlled by their own prakriti, by their own nature. First of all, desires which arise in our mind also is determined by our nature. And to fulfill those desires which deity we worship also is determined by our own prakriti. Basically, our prakriti, our nature in fact, which controls us by creating desires and then by making us feel that it is important to fulfill those desires and further only approaching relevant devatas and following those stipulations, those rituals. So in short, Lord Krishna talks of religious people here. Anya devataha prapadyante, these people are religious people, that they worship gods. They are ritual, they perform rituals, they perform acts of worship, they follow all stipulations also. That means that they are quite committed religious people, having faith. Faith in a devata. That's what the next verse is, in verse 21.
Yo yo yam yam tanum bhaktah shaddhayarchitumicchati tasya tasya chalam shraddham tameva vidadhamyaham. Yo yo bhaktah yam yam tanum shraddhaya architamichyati.
Yo yo bhakta, whoever the devotee of whichever devata he is, yam yam tanum, whichever form, shraddhaya architamichyati, wants to worship or wants to adore with shraddha, with faith. So without faith there cannot be rituals. Meaning that worship cannot be without faith. You can worship a certain devata and perform specified rituals with the hope that perform the rituals will yield a certain outcome, a desirable outcome. So that requires shraddha. That if you chant Hanuman Chalisa 100 times, then you get this result. No, that is a shraddha that will come. Or if 1,000 modakas are offered, यो मोदक सहस्रेण जयति स वांछित फलम आपनोति यो दुर्वांग कुरय जयति स वैष्णवोपम भवति यो लाजय जयति स यशोवान भवति स मेधावान भवति. सो टू लॉर्ड गणेश इफ यू ऑफर दुर्वा परफॉर्म ए होम इन विच दुर्वा इज ऑफर्ड यू गेट लॉट ऑफ वेल्थ. इफ यू ऑफर अनदर थिंग कॉल्ड लाजय इज लाइक पफ राइस देन you get fame and you get intelligence. If you offer the modaka, 1,000 modaka, you can get whatever you want. Ye sadhya samibhaya jate, then samidh, with ajya. So you have seen sometimes, see the priest, that samidh is the dry twig. He dips it into ghee and then offers. Sadhya samidhiriyate. So sarvam love, he gets everything. Now, this is a matter of faith. When you perform a yaga, when you offer durva with a faith, that this statement must be right, that whoever offers durva, he gets wealth. So depending upon what end you get, अनेन गणपतिम अभिषिंजति स वाग्मी भवति. सो इफ यू परफॉर्म अभिषेक ऑफ लॉर्ड गणेश रिसाइडिंग दिस गणेश अथर्व शीर्ष देन वाग्मी भवति. यू बिकम अ ग्रेट ऑरेटर. चतुर्थ्याम अनश्नन जपति स विद्यावान भवति. इफ ऑन द गणेश चतुर्थी यू रिसाइड दिस फॉर द होल डे ऑब्जर्विंग फास्ट then you gain knowledge. Vidyavan bhavati, whatever kind of knowledge you want, etc., etc. I mean, this is just because of a very famous sutra, so I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there are stipulations. If you perform this ritual in this manner, this is what you get. In fact, even when you recite the texts, like Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayana, they tell you. I don't know if you are familiar or not, but this Gita Press Gorakhpur Bhagavata edition, at the end of the second volume, you'll find so many different ways, so many different things about recital. Whether you recite in 1 week, in 1 month, in how many days, in what manner, with what desire, it can fulfill different kinds of desires, including moksha. So people very faithfully do this. People faithfully perform rituals, people faithfully perform the recitals, faithfully chant, do chantings, faithfully do that. Shraddhaya arjitamichyate. So Lord Krishna says, now again he says that as Sarvatma, as the self of all. He says, when I find that this devotee does not worship me, instead worships another devata. Meaning he doesn't want me, he wants only a limited end. And for attaining that limited end, he is performing these various religious actions. And this applies to anybody, anywhere in the world. Not only to rituals which are prescribed in Vedas or Hinduism, but anybody, whether he's a Christian or he's a Jew or a Muslim, anybody who worships with faith. Every tradition says that if you do this, this is what you get. Shraddhaya Arjitamichyate. With faith, whenever they worship me, perform the religious acts of worship, then what does he do? Tasya tasya charam shraddham tameva vidadhamyaham. Lord Krishna says that I make that firm faith firm in that devata. Suppose somebody is worshipping Ganesha for some wisdom, name, fame. Lord Krishna, then they, why are you going there? Why are you not coming to me? And he can do something by which this person's faith in Ganesha is gone. That you can do. Come appear in the dream and say Ganesha is like this and like that and like that and that. So this fellow is disillusioned and he starts worshipping Krishna. Does he do that or not? He says, no. Tasya tasya chalam shraddham tameva vidadhamyaham. Whatever faith he has, for whatever devotee or whatever deity, I make that faith firm. Whichever religion it is, this is a universal rule, that whenever we worship Ishvara, for whatever reason, as long as the worship is performed with faith, our faith is always made more firm. That is the Ishvara is universal, this is the infinite wisdom says this. Lord Krishna has infinite wisdom, which is manifest as the whole universe, says this to us, that when you approach me with faith, in the spirit of worship, then I make that faith firm. In the life also, whenever our intention is clear, and whenever we do something out of faith, then the faith will be made firm, in course of time. If not right away, in course of time. If there is a trust or a faith in a certain goal and you are dedicated to that with your heart and soul, you'll find that slowly that thing is working out. So Lord Krishna is telling us the universal rule, not only Krishna as a particular devata. So Gita should be interpreted as a universal text, applicable to every human being, regardless of what faith they follow. Because these principles are universal and therefore, What is meant by faith is maintaining your form of worship. You can still follow. These principles will not militate against any faith as long as it is faith for Ishvara. Meaning that it does not militate against a particular form of worship, that you worship only in a certain way, or a certain form, or for a certain purpose. It's no such thing. What is important is faith. That with faith, he worships God. Tasya tasya charam shraddham tameva vidadhamyam. I make that faith firm. See, this is called religion. Or this is called, you know, it cannot be that, here Lord Krishna says that you should never unsettle the faith of the person. Na buddhi vedam janayet. In the third chapter we are told that never unsettle the mind of the people. If they are living their life with certain faith, don't unsettle them. Don't say this is wrong. Don't tell them, hey, why are you worshipping, hey, why do you want to go to heavens? What heavens are you talking about? Worship, you know, you should have only asked, why are you performing these rituals with desire? Perform nishkama karma. This is all binding. Don't do that kind of stuff. Meaning that, whatever faith they have, make that faith firm, as long as it is faith in Ishvara in one form or the other. Someday then, that faith will help them to grow and perhaps to think of more subtle things in life. But if one Shraddha or the faith is unsettled, then a person is good for nothing. Yoya Shraddha Saiva Saha. The 17th chapter, Lord Krishna says, a person, whatever Shraddha is, that's what the person is. If Shraddha is gone, then it's just like pulling the rug under the feet. You have no refuge. So Lord Krishna says, meaning the universal wisdom says, or infinite wisdom says, that whenever you worship God with faith, that faith is always made firm. Well, it doesn't mean that every desire will be satisfied. Swami, is not happening. I'm worshipping Lord Ganesha so long for a given thing, is not happening. I'm worshipping Lord Shiva, was not happening. Doesn't matter. But, you know, it may not happen perhaps in a time frame that we want, maybe. But here it is said that whenever you worship with faith, your faith will be made firm. Maybe what you want may not happen, but maybe a viveka may come to you that maybe I need not want it. Something else may come. In some other form you may benefit it. Maybe fulfilling a particular desire may not be the right thing for you and best thing for you. Then something best will happen. So Lord Krishna says, tasya tasya achalam shraddham. I make the shraddha achala. I make the shraddha firm. So then he will go again and again and continue to perform the worships. Next verse is, sataya shraddhaya yuktaha tasya radhana mihate labhate chatatah kaman mayaiva vihitan hitan. Saha the devotee taya shraddhaya yuktaha. The Shraddha, the faith which I have made firm. Endowed with that firm faith, tasyaha radhanam ihate. He worships the devata with more and more faith. It is perhaps necessary that the faith should reach a certain level before our desires are satisfied. Before we find that the faith is working out or is in fact responding. So before we find the response the way we want, maybe that faith needs to be more and more firm. We are not talking about blind faith, but faith with some understanding. Understanding of the realities of life, that faith, that ultimately there is Ishvara everywhere, there is ultimately goodness everywhere,
that evil is not the nature of reality, goodness is the nature of reality, and therefore someday it has to respond. As Mahatma Gandhi said, ahimsa paramo dharma, the non-violence is ultimate dharma. That faith. It took years and years and years, it did not happen right away, but ultimately a time when things started working out. Actually, it is not only India that could have attained that freedom. Other countries also were pressurizing. Britain was pressurized by many other powers also to come on, do this. That Churchill resisted that pressure. Ultimately, he lost the election. And the other government came and they accepted. So these things happen. What I'm saying is that the faith can make things happen. You find that the universe is responding to you in a favorable way when the cause is very genuine and when your efforts also, your dedication also is genuine, then things do work. It's better that we expand our faith for something worthwhile and not for those insignificant little things, you know, better. But those things also will come. If we want small things in our life, that also will come. It's better that we want big things, let that come. But what Lord Krishna is saying is that the faith will respond. You keep on working at it. Keep on making it more and more firm. Keep on dedicating yourself to that. Then it will respond. Tasya radhanam ihate. He worships that deity. See, it is tasya radhanam because the word devata in Sanskrit is striling, is a feminine word. So tasya devatayaha or devata tanvaha, as Shankaracharya explains, tasyaha devata tanvaha radhanam, devata tanu, that form of Ishvara, that form of deity. When he worships Ishvara in that form, so labhate cha tatah kaman, he does attain those desire ends. When he worships with faith, I make that faith firm. He continues the worship and someday that faith turns into fulfillment of the desire. Whatever desires are, even worldly desires, or spiritual, whatever desires you have, those desires will be fulfilled. Why will they be fulfilled? Maya eva vihita, because I am the one who is fulfilling those desires. Maya eva vihita anita, because ultimately I am the Lord, I am omniscient, I am all-knowing, I know this devotee, I know what he is doing. And in the form of that devata, I alone am. Even though he thinks that all the devatas are different. In fact, I alone am the self of all the devatas. In the form of all the devatas, I alone am. And therefore, what happens is that actually that devata fulfills the desire. So this devotee feels that Ganesha did that. That is called faith. If that time Lord Krishna, I am doing it, come on now, Ganesha is not doing it, then his faith will not be in Ganesha. But no. As Ganesha, Lord fulfills his desires. So this fellow's faith is firm that I believe in Ganesha Swamiji. He does it. I believe in this. Every year I must go to Tirupati. That I must go. Or Vaishnava Devi or something. People go there with great faith. From here they go all the way. Vaishnava Devi. I have faith, Swamiji. Then Vaishnava Devi will fulfill. Ultimately it is Ishvara. As that Devi, they will fulfill the desire. So this is the, as I said, certain realities again revealed by Lord. As to how people do not have the discrimination, therefore they are asking for limited or small things in their life. He says, I don't object to that, that's okay. Vedas do not object that you should have your limited desire. Vedas are means of fulfilling all desires, their worldly desires also are accepted. That everybody is not grown to maturity to realize that if we want moksha. Meaning that Vedas do not only address the desire for moksha, dharma, artha, kama. If you want artha or wealth, if you want pleasures, you want heavens, whatever you want, will fulfill your desires. Do this. Do this stipulated thing and do it with faith. Have discipline, have dedication, have faith. If it's not ritual, it can be any worldly action also, at your place of work, anywhere. As long as something is done with dedication, with faith, and with one's own soul and heart, with a attitude, then the in course of time, the thing will respond. If not in one day, in one month, in one year, in one lifetime, I do not know. But this one says that when you do something with dedication, then you will get that response. Like when you in the mountains, when you shout Rama, Rama, then mountains will echo back. So whatever we do, the echo is, it comes back to us. And so with faith, when we do that, with all good intentions, then Lord Krishna says that your desires will be fulfilled. Even the desire for worldly end. The next verse will tell us that it's better desire for the other world. But anyway, whatever desires are, because that desire represents only the level of maturity. What I desire represents my level of maturity. You cannot demand that the person be different from what he or she is. That's what it is. Okay. If that's what you want, do it this way, that's what you get. So, Ishvara is the Karmaphala Data, he fulfills the desires. Okay.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Vadarayanam Sutra Bhashya Krutau Vande Bhagavantau Punah Punah Ishvaro Guru Ratmeti Murti Bheda Vibhagine Vyomavad Vyapta Dehaya Dakshinamurtaye.